and chapter 9. It's on page 693. 693 in the Pew Bibles. Very well-known passage at Christmas time, but usually you get verses 2, 6 and 7, and not 1 and 3 to 5, if you see what I mean. So I'm going to read verses 1 through to 7. So Isaiah 9, 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea, along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thanks be to God for his...
The New Testament reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, starting at verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Amen.
Lord, just be with us now as we reflect on your word. Speak to us what we need to hear. And as we hear the wind blowing outside this building, may the wind of your Holy Spirit blow within it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Advent literally means arrival, and it looks to that time when we celebrate the arrival of the Christ child. We know that Christians were celebrating Lent, Holy Week and Easter by the 3rd century. And by the 4th century, there was a whole tourist industry going on to the Middle East as people went from Europe to visit the holy places and to be there at the times that things happened. But it became a spiritual thing, and as the monastic movement grew, those celebrations were made closer to home, but there was always a time of preparation that went with them. Time to remember the true significance of the events of Good Friday and Easter and so on. It wasn't until about 200 years later that Christmas became fixed in the Christmas calendar, close to celebrations of the physical sun in many parts of the world, and especially in the cold north, where it was felt that it was good to have a celebration of light. And it's very interesting how many of the major religions have festivals of light at this time of year. The Jews celebrate Hanukkah. The Hindus celebrate Diwali. Because there's something about us as human beings, we, as the nights get darker, as the days get shorter, we crave light. We know that some people suffer from seasonal affective disorder. As the long nights come on, they find it more difficult to cope with life generally. When Cromwell's Parliament in 1645 brought in a law that banned Christmas, because in the church that was left after the execution of Charles I and all that was going on then, they didn't believe in celebrating special festivals in the church. They were just done away with. And it was one of those things that over a period of a decade or so was like a worm that ate up all the confidence and support that the Parliament had throughout the country. And it's said that historically one of the things that it made it much easier for King Charles II to come back and take his throne was the whole issue of Christmas. It was as if, without having that expression of joy, remembering the coming of Christ into the world, that something was sucked out. And if we were just to read Luke 21 and the verses that Miriam brought to us, it would probably leave us pretty downcast as we think about what it says about the things of this world being brought to a close. Except that we also know that what it's talking about is bringing to an end all that which stands in opposition to God's light, so that his light may shine in the darkness. It's not the Luke reading in particular that I want to look at tonight, but the Isaiah reading. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah begins by saying there's been gloom, there's been distress, there's been hardship, there's been longing. But in the future, he, that's God, will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. In other words, if you go up a little way from here in Jerusalem, Isaiah is saying, if you follow the river Jordan, you come to Galilee. And something important is going to happen around Galilee, and somebody is important is going to come from around that area. And it's interesting how in Scripture Jesus has a dual origin. It speaks of how redemption will come from Bethlehem, from the town of David, but also here, how he will come from Galilee, which is where Nazareth is. And it's going to be like a light switched on in the world, says Isaiah, such that you could not imagine. The people walking in darkness will be able to say, we've seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Something incredible is going to happen. And then he likens it to, Isaiah is given a picture and likens it to the day of Midian's defeat. That's a very specific reference. It takes us back to the story of Gideon. It takes us back to that occasion when Gideon was faced with the Midianites, when the people of Israel were faced with the people of Midian, who were attacking, who in whom they were in fear. And if you remember, Gideon was called up virtually from nowhere, became leader of the army, and was given by God this job of sorting out the Midianite threat. And he was able to draw on a pretty vast army. He wasn't sure whether he should do it or not. He had a bit of an issue. Was this God? Wasn't it God? So it was all that business with putting out the fleece. You know, and if the fleece is dry and the ground is wet, then I'll believe you, God. And when that happened, well, when the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, then I'll believe you, God. And God just kept saying, yes, I'm calling you. And we're told how the camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. And the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into your hands, in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. Announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left. You know, there aren't many generals who would say, if you don't mind fight, don't really want to fight today, just go home, that's okay with me. Well, that's what God told him to do. And he was left with an army of 10,000. Still a mighty army. And God said, there are still too many. So take them down to the water. And when you get them down by the water, this is what we're going to do to sift them out. If I say this one shall go out with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. And the difference was to be calculated in the way the men drank water from the river. Separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink. I assume they would kneel down and use their hands to cup the water. Three 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths, and all the rest got down on their knees to drink. And the Lord said, that's the 300 you need. I mean, imagine Gideon just standing there and saying, you want me to let 9,700 men go, and you're going to leave me with this 300? And you remember what happened, that actually Gideon had these men take pots and sticks and things, and they stood strategically around the Midian camp in the middle of the night, and they made a right old racket. And because it was all round the camp, the Midianites woke up suddenly, thought that they were being invaded by the Israelite army, and they just started striking out at one another, thinking one another was the enemy, and they just defeated themselves. And so victory was handed into Gideon's hands. And Isaiah here says, do you remember the day of Midian's defeat? When I shattered the yoke that burdened you, that is as nothing compared with what my chosen one, who will be my light coming into the world, will do. He is going to bring down the ultimate enemy. The tempter and sin and death, he will bring down. Darkness will be swept away. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Very important we read this right. I remember going for years thinking that there was a comma between wonderful and counselor, and that, of course, is because that's the way Handel writes his music. So that you get, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God. You see, so that you, but there isn't a comma there, because wonderful is the adjective. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And the thing that I just felt on my heart, that well, I was asking, you know, I must admit, I'm by the time I get past Revelation on a Sunday morning at the moment, I'm pretty spent. Spent a lot of time getting ready for it and preaching it, and takes a lot. And I felt, what is it that you really want saying this evening? And I believe that the Lord is saying to you, and to some of you in particular here this evening, I want to be this to you. Your way feels dark at the moment, and I want to bring my light. I want to bring my light directly into your situation. I want you to receive light. I want you to know my Son, who is the one who can advise you and counsel you more wonderfully than any human counselor, however well trained. Who is mighty, nothing is too much for him. Who is everlasting, he will be with you and walk with you forever, and he will not give up. And he's the Prince of Peace. He will bring peace into your life. Next week is our prayer for healing service. But I just felt this evening, I should just say, that there may be those who should receive prayer this evening. You may feel you're just in a dark place, a difficult place. You may be feeling unwell. You may be feeling down. You may be feeling sad. Maybe feeling something else altogether, but you just know that you need a touch of God on your life just now. And I'm just going to ask Esther, if she wouldn't mind, to go and find that Isn't He Beautiful and just play that tune for us. And for the rest of us, just to be silent for a few moments. And if you would like somebody to just pray with you, then just come to the front here, sit here, and somebody from our prayer team will just come and spend time with you. People are shy about coming forward, but you needn't be, because everybody's on your side and praying for you. But it is a way of our saying, God, I'm in earnest about seeking you. I'm prepared to make a move to you because you have promised that you will move towards me. And if he's speaking to your heart, your mind this evening, then just respond to him as Esther plays. I'm not going to drag this on. I'm not going to put any further pressure on. I'm not going to do the old evangelist trick of saying, I know there are still some of you sitting there. You know, we're not going to do all that. If the Lord has just said, you need a bit more of me, you need some of my light at the moment, just come and let's pray. Thank you, Esther. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a done deal. He will do it. It's all part of what has been won for us on the cross. We put our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ.